bumbling, afraid he wouldn't be liked, Simon in this car. Where had he gone? And when? Chapter 18. I hate it when people make me out to be some kind of hero. The others did something wrong. There was a time they could have said no, and they didn't. But I did the same thing. I knew when I handed that ID back to Glass that it was wrong, but he gave me something I wanted. Needed. Young handed his life over to Rob the same way. I've learned a lot. Finally gotten smart in my old age or something. Young and I both made Rob into a substitute father. We couldn't deal with the ones we were given. And Rob made us feel like successful sons. Sons a father is proud of. Who wouldn't do most anything for that? Young just did more than I did. Jeff Cooper. We arrived at the Yellow Rose, home of the only Texas-sized burger in the state. 3/4 of a pound of ground beef, chock full of carcinogens and cholesterol. Heaven on a sesame seed bun. Coop ate one. Coop, I said, this diet of yours is going to put grocery stores, farmers, and ranchers out of business. Don't worry. Simon has taken up the slack. He pointed to Glass, who sat with 2 burgers, fries, onion rings, and a thick strawberry shake. It's Christmas. I'll get back on my diet after the holidays. We'll have to go shopping again if you don't. Or maybe my dad will loan you some of his clothes. Coop wasn't smiling. Shoving his half-eaten burger aside, he wiped his mouth, balled up his napkin, and tossed it at Glass. Sorry, guys. I'm worried about the ACT scores. My whole future is sort of hanging out in the breeze, you know? I have just the thing to cheer you up. Simon scraped his chair back and hurried out of the restaurant. What's he up to? I asked. Who knows? Coop mumbled. Glass is getting as bad as Rob about keeping secrets. Coop shredded a couple of napkins. What'll I do if I don't get an 18 on the ACT, Young? Simon bounced in, carrying 2 wrapped presents. Here, guys. Just call me Santa Simon. There was a trace of the old Simon, nervous and bumbling, but as he handed us the presents, he seemed to grow more confident. Coop's package was square, the size of a box of kitchen matches, and wrapped in shiny foil. He shook it. Shucks, Glass. I was hoping for a car. Open it, Simon encouraged him. Coop stripped the paper off and looked at the small box, befuddled. Terrific, Glass. A Waterford crystal napkin ring. Just what I always wanted. It's just a box I used. Open it! He lifted the lid and pulled away a square of cotton. His face wrinkled in puzzlement once more as he picked up a laminated card. Why are you giving me your driver's license? Look at it again, Coop. Coop looked again. This is nuts. This is your picture, but it's got my name and my license number. I don't get it. On January 18th at 8 a.m., I will enter the auditorium at Alvin Community College. I'll present this card and this voucher to the proctor and take an ACT test. Simon handed a computer card to Coop. This has my name on it. Yes, indeed. It do, it do. Glass was practically bouncing in his chair. Coop shook his head. Still confused. I explained. If I read this right, Simon has signed up for the ACT in your name, and he has somehow gotten a false ID so he can enter the testing station as Jeff Cooper. He's going to take the test for you. Coop looked like a stunned carp. For real? Did you do all this, Glass? For me? Well, I expect tickets to all the home games. Jesus, Simon. This is... I mean, it's just... Just... I took the license from Coop. Just totally illegal, I said. Nobody said a word. Oh, Coop exhaled. I didn't think of that. Simon leaned forward across the table until he was 3 inches from my face. Don't do this to him, Young. You weren't concerned with legality when I changed your schedule. I clenched my back teeth until my temples throbbed. I glanced at Coop, who was the picture of despondency. Hey, big guy, don't look like your dog died. I just meant you have to keep this ultra quiet. Nobody else can know. Coop appeared uncertain. What if we get caught? No way, Simon said. The license has my picture. So to the Alvin Proctor, I'm Jeff Cooper. Simon leaned back. Rob said that... Rob, I asked. Is this Rob's idea? Sure, Simon said. He even told me where I could get the fake ID. How does Rob know where to get false ID? I tapped the license and thought that a guy who could change his name might know exactly where to get a fake license. This looks like the real deal. It should. It cost me $75. Glass. Coop turned and faced Simon, shutting me out of the loop. This is a big deal, man. Not just the money. It could get you in lots of trouble. If this wasn't so important, I'd never let you do it, but... He stopped and his eyes filled with tears. But it might just be all that's between me and being a gas jockey. So, thanks, Simon. You're a real friend. Glass pushed a package across the table to me. The paper snagged on the rough boards of the table. You shouldn't have, Glass, I said. I didn't get you anything. Coop looked mystified. Open it, Young. I tugged at the ribbon and the bow unraveled. I picked at the tape and folded the paper back, revealing a leather-bound book, its pages softly ragged. Classy. I turned the volume over. The right front corner was embossed with the words Young Stewart. The pages were blank. Thick, creamy parchment waiting for words. My words. I know all riders keep journals. I thought you might want this. Or even better, use it for your first novel. Glass had tapped into me, and I didn't like him owning a map of my head. Chapter 19. Why did I do what Rob asked me to about Rana? That's always the first question. If I had never gone to that library and learned what I did, then Rob could never have talked me into it. But once I knew Rob's secret, and I knew what it does to a person, then I needed to patch a hole in him, like he'd done for me. And I didn't think it would be permanent with Ron and me. I thought I could have it all back. Young Stewart, from his psychological interview before sentencing. The day after Christmas, I hibernated in my room. Slouched on my bed, I ran my finger along the cushiony edges of the leather journal. A matched set of luggage sat next to my closet door, and a Franklin planner lay atop the box that held a laptop computer. The phone jangled. Unconcerned, I let it ring until the answering machine picked up. Hearing Simon's asthmatic voice, I hooked the receiver with two fingers and plopped it onto my shoulder. Hey, Glass, I'm here. Screening the calls? Yeah, I'm tired of talking to people who are offering a one-time-only chance of a lifetime to put vinyl siding over our brick. He made a chuffing sound. Simon's variation of a laugh. Slow around here, too. Everybody gone for Christmas break. What's on your mind? I asked. A little detective work. What for? Rob? I twisted the phone cord around my finger. What about Rob? Simon let out a sigh. Don't do laps with me. Why would Rob change his name? Why'd he say he's from out of state when he's really from Foley? Don't tell me you haven't wondered. Yeah, I said. I gripped the phone hard. A day with Simon. I'd rather eat a worm. But Rob knew all my secrets. I wanted to know his. I'll be there in 10 minutes. We know that Rob's last address was 212 Monroe in Foley. We're going to get a map and find a house. Then what? Then we see who lives there. How do we do that? The telephone book won't help. Simon wagged his head in disgust. No, the telephone book won't help. Don't you watch television? After we buy a pizza, we go to the house pretending to deliver it. We took the off-ramp that led downtown and cruised until we saw a pizza place that advertised free delivery. We ordered a pizza to go and asked the cashier if he had a map with street names. We studied the map and followed the road to a neighborhood landscape like a gardener's wet dream. I pointed. There it is, 212. The house was long, low, and elegant. Rob's dad does pretty well, Simon said. Yeah, if his dad still lives here. He lived here once. I nodded. Guess so. Turning into the wide circular drive, we pulled up to the front of the house. A white BMW was parked at the side entrance. We stepped out of the car and clumped up the pebbled walk. Poinsettias bloomed in ornate cast-iron platters that flanked the double doors. Simon lifted a brass ring that hung from a lion's mouth and knocked it against the sleek, dark wood. We waited and fidgeted. Ring the bell. In a house this size, nobody could hear a knock. Glass punched the bell and the door jerked open before he could pull his finger back. Okay, I'm here. The speaker was a tall woman in lavender sweats, flushed and breathing hard as she smiled at us. Sorry it took me so long. I was on the treadmill. Pizza delivery, Simon said. I didn't order pizza. Well, Simon bumbled about. It says here, Pizza Supreme, Hold Anchovies, Robert Badek, 212 South Monroe. Glass looked up. Is Mr. Badek here? Maybe he ordered and didn't mention it. The woman's expression slid from friendly to suspicious. What's going on here? We didn't say anything. You two are up to no good, but I can't imagine why. We still didn't say anything. Well, whatever it is doesn't concern me. She pushed her hair off her forehead. We bought the house from Mrs. Badek. Mr. Badek has a new address. He's in prison. She eyed us again. Go away. This is old news, and it's my house now, not a tourist attraction. She slammed the door. We trudged back to the car without a word. We got in and clipped the seatbelts. What in the hell does that mean? I know how to find out, Simon said with creepy composure. After getting directions from a service station, we drove to the local library. I sat back in the soft leather seats, deep in my own thoughts. After we got to the library, Glass led me to the microfilm viewer. What are we doing? I demanded. She referred to old news. There has to be something in the papers. If there is a connection to Rob, my guess is that it happened at about the time he transferred to Beavale. Not bad, Glass. The librarian interrupted us with a box of rolled film. She briefed us on using microfilm and viewers and left. Here, Simon said. You take half. He grumbled about this not being in the library's computer system and pushed the rolls at me. Scan anything that might give us a clue, I sat down and threaded the first roll of film, clicked the viewer, and squinted at the pages on the screen. I read headlines and skimmed sports pages, court proceedings, lists of marriages and divorces. The lighted screen wearied my eyes, and a headache thumped dismally in my temples. I was rubbing my forehead when I saw it. I enlarged the frame so I could read the small print. The article was short, no more than 3 inches, but it answered all my questions, even the one I hadn't asked. Glass. Yeah, find something. I took a deep breath. Yeah. I heard Glass's chair scrape back. Simon flipped the viewer to the articles that followed the first story. The grainy photos, the headlines, the articles that exposed Rob's betrayal and shame. I never wanted to know this, Glass said. Me neither. I turned off the viewer. We're never going to talk about this again, Simon. Never. Chapter 20. I went out with Young a few times, you know. He, like, dumped that skinny little virgin queen, Ronna Perry, from me. But Young's friends all thought they were such hot stuff. They all acted like Young was slumming with me. Young did, too. So I decided, screw him, and I dumped him. I'm sure he tells the story different, but that's the truth. I ditched him. Debbie Mahon. Late that night, I sat in my room flipping the channels on the television, the bright colored images a kaleidoscope flickering against my unseeing eyes. I thought about Rob and understood why he had to control all of us. A central person in his life had betrayed him. It was the secret we shared. What must have drawn us together? I picked up the leather journal, turned to the first page, reached to my nightstand and pulled out a pen. I tapped it against the thick parchment, thinking, stalling. I clicked the pen and began to write. He looked at the world through wounded eyes. Anything good was distorted, not unlike the image of a pretty girl in a funhouse mirror, and anything bad was made monstrous. I wrote all night, the pen flowing against the paper, the pages filling with Rob's sorrow. As I wrote, I began to understand more, pulling off layer upon layer of past hints, clues to the inner Rob that I hadn't seen. I knew that no matter what, I'd never betray him. Coop had a day off, so we went to the beach to run his dogs. As we jogged, our sneakers slapped against the wet sand. Coop ran, loose and steady, more at ease than I'd seen him in weeks since he took the ACT. The dogs bounded and splashed, barking at seagulls and running from waves. Coop, you know you've got a pass on the ACT. Why are you still working out like this? Just because Simon's going to get me an 18 on the test doesn't make me any smarter. I huffed alongside. Is there a connection I've missed here? This is great. I'm explaining something to you. Simon takes the test. I get a scholarship. I still gotta go to school, you know. I don't just go play ball. I still don't get why we're running. Young, I have to be in such great shape and show so much hustle that the coach won't have any reason to dump me. I have to make it worth his trouble to get me tutors and stuff, keep me eligible. Makes sense, I said, sounding as wheezy as Simon. Can we slow down? One of the dogs fainted. Coop laughed, big and full-chested. Happy. Sure, I'll run again later. I still need to trim off a couple of pounds. He patted a stomach that looked like granite. Dropping the gate to a walk, I asked, "Doesn't Simon work out with you anymore?" Coop stopped and raked his fingers through his hair. The wind pushed it forward over his eyebrows. His wide-open face was flushed and shining with good health. But he caught his bottom lip between his teeth and his eyes darkened with trouble. I don't know what to think about Simon. First I feel one way, but then something sort of, I don't know, sort of sours around the edges. Like that green junk that grows on cheese. Yeah, I agreed. I looked out at the waves hammering into the shore. I know what you mean. I feel the same way. He's like a big overgrown sheep. He just lets us run his life, change it, change him. I used to kind of like him when he showed any little lick of gumption or fight, but now I dug in the sand with my shoe. Now I hate it when he does. I guess he can't win with me.